Good. So it's my pleasure to introduce you to the very first talk of EMF 2016, which is Nicholas Tolvey talking about MicroPython. With the talk, some of the schedules do overlap. So when we get to the point where the main talk's finished, if you do need to run to the next stage to catch whatever's going on there, he's not going to cry. So anyway, with no further ado, I'll introduce Nicholas, who's fellow of the Python Software Foundation. Anyway, here you are, Nicholas.
Okay, so, good. You can hear me, I hope. So everybody on this side of the room, you're probably going to enjoy the talk more if you're on that side of the room, because I'm going to be doing, hopefully, some live coding and demonstrations and things, and with the screen being over there for everybody to see, I suggest you're over that side of the room, then you'll be able to see what's going on. So my name is Nicholas Tolvey. I'm a freelance Python programmer, and I'm here to tell you about MicroPython. What is it? What does it do? Why is it suddenly everywhere? So we better cover those questions, I guess. So what is it? Well, MicroPython is a re-implementation of Python 3, optimized for microcontrollers, small systems on a chip. What does it do? Well, it brings the power and beauty of the Python programming language to highly constrained computing environments. So things like the BBC Microbit, Arduino-shaped devices, and the EMF badge this year. And talking of that, why is it suddenly everywhere? Well, it's become popular in the last year or so because it facilitates simple yet rapid development on embedded devices. It has all the powerful features of Python that you would expect. Sometimes, depending on your device, it might have more or less of the standard library that comes with Python. Importantly, it has a transferable skill set. So I work in Python during the day, building large scalable websites, but I can use the skills that I know as a Python developer on microcontrollers and embedded devices, which makes it rather a fun thing to do. And also, this being Python and MicroPython, it has an outstanding community. So that's it, really. As I mentioned, MicroPython, it's all over EMF, because all the badges that you're going to get run a build of MicroPython. MicroPython's actually all over the UK as well. Now, I can't see an awful lot because I've got lights in my eyes, but could you put your hands up if you've heard of the BBC Microbit device? Okay, that's pretty much everybody, which is what I was expecting from EMF. So you would be unsurprised then if I told you that 1 million of these devices have been delivered to the UK's year sevens, so that's the year when you're turning from 11 to 12. And this was a partnership created by the BBC. One of the partners was the Python Software Foundation. I'm a PSF fellow, and so I was the person who helped organize for the PSF, the collaboration with the BBC, and all the work that I'm going to show you on the Microbit today for MicroPython has been done by volunteers here in the UK and around the world. Okay, so nobody's paid people to do this. So you could also use software from one of our other partners. So Microsoft, if you go to their tent, they have an alternative programming environment that you could use on the Microbit as well. MicroPython is all over the world. So Damien George, the creator of MicroPython, is Australian, and he ran a successful Kickstarter, which I'll talk about later on. But the Pi board, he tells me that he gets fan mail from children in Saudi Arabia who are using the Pi board and MicroPython in their lessons in the US. It's kind of all over the place. And this is the thing that I really like, because I'm a bit of a space nut, is that MicroPython is going into space. I'll talk a little bit about that as well soon, but I think that's really cool, is that I could be writing in a language that I could use to program satellites in a few years' time if this project comes to fruition. So this dapper-looking chap is Damien George. He's a physicist who was, until 2 weeks ago, based in Cambridge here in the UK, for a bit of fun, he created MicroPython. Why wouldn't you want to re-implement Python 3 in your spare time? But that's what he did, and it's become this hugely successful project. So how does MicroPython work? So I'm not going to give a very technical explanation of this because you can find out the technical details online. But this diagram essentially shows you the flow of what MicroPython is doing. If you start at the red boxes on the left-hand side, I'm not sure if you can see it that well, but it says REPL prompt, user scripts, and compiled strings and things. That essentially represents Python code as we would see it in our editor. That goes through several steps to get to the compiler. So the Lexer will tokenize the Python script. The tokens are then sent through the parser. So you get the parse tree, which is what the compiler uses to turn into something that can be executed on the device. Now, for the microbit, we have a virtual machine. So it's compiled to bytecode. The bytecode is loaded into the virtual machine, and it is executed on the device. I believe that's the same for the EMF badge. So the virtual machine executes the bytecode, and stuff happens. You have native code as well. So MicroPython can compile to whatever executable you might need for the particular device that you are programming. And there's also something called Viper code, which I have absolutely no idea what it is because I've never been involved in that part of the MicroPython project. But it sounds cool, called Viper. Anyway, I know a little bit about what it is, but ask me later. That's essentially how MicroPython works. It's a very, very simple system. And the important thing that you need to know is if you're thinking, Nicholas hasn't really told me that much about it, I know what I'll do. I'll go to the MicroPython.org website, find where their GitHub repository, and see what I can find out about this code. Some things that you need to know. Because MicroPython is designed to work in highly constrained computing environments, it does not follow traditional software engineering practices that I might use when I'm writing great big websites, for example, in Python. So basically, Damien optimizes first. He uses lots of creative solutions and tricks. If he can, everything's about size, so everything has to be as small as it can. So clarity, which is something that developers, especially Python people, like to trump as a benefit of the language, in the C code, the implementation of MicroPython, we're looking for smaller code. Smaller code. Goto is not discouraged in the C code. Programmers will understand that's rather a contentious issue, but in the case of MicroPython, it gives us some efficiency here. Because we don't have a lot of RAM, everything's optimized for not a lot of RAM, minimize the stack usage. And all the decisions that Damien makes about these optimizations that I've flung through with a wavy, hand-wavy type of description are based on analysis. So he's looking for how he's using analysis to work out where he can make the best optimizations given the particular platform for which MicroPython is being built for. So here's Damien again, and he's always asked the same sorts of question, which is, why do you do it this way rather than that way? Why do you do it this way rather than that way? Why are you doing go-to rather than blah, 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 blah? Why blah, 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 blah? And essentially, it all boils down to one essential factor that Damien is concerned about, and that is to minimize RAM usage, because we are working in a constrained environment. If you are interested, and I encourage you to have a look, because it's a very friendly community, go along to MicroPython.org. MicroPython supports lots of different devices, not just the microbits or the Pi board or the EMF badge. There's lots of people doing crazy stuff with lots of interesting embedded devices. MicroPython.org is the place to go. So why would you want to re-implement Python 3 for microcontrollers? So I asked Damien this a couple of days ago when I was exchanging emails with him. And he said, well, you know, because it was there, really. It was a fun thing to do, and he wanted to see whether he could do it. And so he's done it. Congratulations to Damien. And also, Damien loves writing in Python, and he wanted to make it easy for people to program using Python in such constrained environments. So this goes back to my point about having a skill set that's easily transferable. So how did MicroPython come into being? Well, Damien sat down and he figured out, well, could this work? After a spike of code, yes, it could. He put his proposal on Kickstarter, and almost 2,000 backers pledged almost £100,000 for him to complete the work. And they got a little pie board, which I don't have on me right now, a very small device which they could then use to play around with MicroPython. About 9 months ago, Damien ran a second Kickstarter for a conversion of MicroPython to run on the ESP8266, which is a system on a chip that has built-in Wi-Fi. And it works, which is wonderful. And he had almost 1,400 backers who pledged almost £30,000 for this to happen. So Damien is working full-time on MicroPython on this. And of course, there's the BBC Microbit. So this is how I know Damien, because my involvement in MicroPython has been through the Microbit. One day we were sat in London having a cup of coffee, wondering how we would describe to the BBC what our vision of MicroPython on the Microbit would be. And we literally sketched it out on the back of the table mat and took an arty-farty photo of it, really. And that's what we showed them when we went into the meeting. But the important thing is that a million children and an international team of volunteers have been involved in the Microbit. The million children obviously get these devices and they can learn to program with them. And the international team of volunteers, many Pythonistas, many people who, for the first time, have started to work in an embedded environment, like myself. It's been an interesting sort of an adventure. And they've been doing some crazy stuff. So this is a robot built by a friend of mine called Radomir, who is a Polish chap based in Switzerland. And he essentially, by the looks of it, got some motors and nailed them together with a micro bit. And this is what the result was. Kind of cute in an all humans must die sort of a way, really, isn't it? I think he does it again. Yeah, here we go. Very, very silly. The important thing is about the Microbit is that we want to inspire creativity. And with silly robots like this, we hope that things that kids could make in their CDT class, remember, this is just some motors glued perhaps, together with a Microbit and some very, very simple Python. I think it's only about 15 or 16 lines of Python code that gets you to here. Okay? So this is the bit that I've been working towards, which is the live demo. So. I believe tomorrow you get your badges. So here's a sneak peek. Yes, it works. Here we go. So aha. So here's the badge. It's running MicroPython. And what I'm going to do is give you a very simple outline of what you need to do to get in touch with Python on this device so you can start hacking with it. You first of all plug it in, which is easier said than done when you're live on stage at EMF camp. There we go. And if I go to my REPL here, I should be able to. Oh, that's interesting. I obviously didn't sacrifice enough chickens to the demo god this morning. Let's see what I can see. Okay, so we have the board. I can do it this way. So when you plug in your badge, it will be mounted as a flash storage device, and there's nothing on there. Oh, man. There we go. And what the device will do is it will attempt to look for a file called main.py in the root directory here of the file system, and it will attempt to run whatever Python it finds in there. Now, the badge team here have told me, and another caveat here is that I only got this badge about 2 hours ago and have spent about 15 minutes playing with it, so there's live demos for you. What it does, it actually runs a boot.py file, if it also finds it, and the main file that it runs is going to be in home main.py, which is this beautiful piece of Python code. But what I can do, and this is without the aid of a safety net, is if I rename this to main.py2, and I rename this to main.py, and then I unmount the device, and then I restart it. Fantastic. You'll be relieved to know it works. So I have created a very simple spirit level. In MicroPython. Now, that's all well and good, but there is a REPL that you should be able to connect to. Yeah. Hey, okay, so we have a REPL. So plug your device in, use screen or something to connect to it. I have no idea what you have to do if you're on Windows, but anyway. Here we are. This is Python, so I can see what's in my scope. There's even help built in. Just like regular Python, I can print hello world. There we go. It's just regular Python. So please have a poke around. You can live code the device as well. So there are several libraries for the screen that lets you draw all sorts of interesting things on them. So I would use the REPL to experiment and work out how it works, put it into a script, and then see what happens. Okay? Back to the presentation. So that's the badge that you're going to get. The thing that I've been involved with is the micro bit. This is the micro bit. How many of you actually seen one and held it and caressed it? Oh, okay, there's about, I don't know, a third of you. Okay, so let me tell you what a micro bit does. It runs MicroPython, obviously. On the front, there are two buttons, button A and B, and there's a 5x5 LED matrix that scrolls bright red information across it, should you make it do so. Across the bottom are GPIO pins, some of which are big enough for you to attach crocodile clips, so it's very makey-makey, as it were. On the back, the parts are labeled. So we have over here is a power socket. We have a reset button here, a micro USB connector here. Here is an antenna for BLE-related things. We have the ARM chip is here, and an accelerometer and a compass as well. So there's rather an awful lot on the device, OK? So as part of the project to work with the BBC, they asked us to create a web-based editor, which fits in with the microbit.co.uk website. One of the things that we did in the autumn after we created this editor is I went around the country and spoke at various teach meets and Python user groups and demoed this to get feedback from teachers, because it's the teachers who are going to be providing the support for the device. And the feedback we got was that actually they preferred using a real editor rather than using a browser-based editor. So over the Christmas holidays, basically, we wrote a native app, which we call Mew. Here it is. One of the features that teachers said was, you know what? When you're giving presentations, the people at the back can never see what it is that you're coding. So we would like zoom in and zoom out buttons. So I can demonstrate this feature for you now here. It's awesome. Look. OK? And unlike the other sorts of platforms where you have to do it through a browser, you have to download a hex file, you have to drag the hex file over to the mounted file system, it flashes, blah, 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 blah. Because this is a native app, we can do all sorts of interesting things. Like if I want to flash this very, very simple piece of Python that all it does, let me zoom, whoa, wrong zoom button. All it does is scroll hello world across the screen. I just click the flash button. And it should scroll hello world. Let's see what happens. Flashing the device still. Here we go. Hello world. Woo, it works. Just fancy that. OK. That's not all it can do. For example, we've built in animation too, so let me flash this. What we have endeavored to do with the APIs that we have created, there we go, it's a little clock or a radar or something like that, is make it as simple and as easy as possible for kids who are using this device to get to something usable. So this is, in essence, apart from the import, a single line of Python. And it's rather easy to read. Show on the display all the clocks in the image library, delay for 100 milliseconds between each of the frames, and I want you to keep looping that forever and ever and ever. And so we get our little radar. Something a bit more complicated here. We've built in a whole bunch of images. Kids can create their own images. It's very simple to do with Python. But I put the device in an infinite loop, and I'm going to make this thing sparkle and react to button presses and things. So the sparkling happens here. If button A was pressed, show a random image. If button B was pressed, scroll hello world. And if the accelerometer had a shake gesture, just show an angry micro bit, okay? So let's see if this works. God, live coding demos, aren't they great? So, it's sparkling, and if I press button A, sorry, button B, we get hello world. And if I press button A, there it is, going back sparkling. We get a picture of a rabbit that disappears into the sparkles, an umbrella, or sunshade, depending on what the weather's doing. A heart, all done at random, a skull. And if I shake it, you get an angry microbit. There it is. Pissed off microbit. There we go. If you remember, I said that you could get to the REPL on the EMF badge. Well, you can do the same thing here. Let me zoom in a bit. Let me not do that, excuse me. REPL, zoom in. There we go. So what you can see here, what you will see here, live demos, here we go. This is MicroPython running on a microbit. And I used to be a music teacher. So one of the things that we've implemented is a music module. And I have a speaker here. And if I plug it in, it should just work. That's what they always say. Switch it on. Turn the volume up. There we go. Right then, so I can do something like this. Music.play, this is rather obvious. We want kids to be able to discover this sort of stuff and understand how the API works. So we want to play music. What do you use? You use music.play. Music.tabcompletion, it's got some built-in tunes, which I'll use for demonstration purposes. So somebody shout out a tune from the list there. Birthday. What's that going to be? It's going to be like being in W.H. Smith with all those cards that you open and close. Let's see. Fantastic. Look at that. And I can also make it do other interesting things. Music.pitch. So I used to be a musician. 440 is the standard for concert A that the oboe player will give when an orchestra tunes. I want it to play for 1 second. There we go. And now what I can do is some interesting stuff. For example, putting it into a loop, and I can say music.pitch. Pitch takes an integer. Where can I get these integers from? Well, how about accelerometer.getx? And then wait for 20 milliseconds and let's see what happens. Okay. Strangled cat. Or instant musical instrument. So imagine a room full of 11-year-old children on a Friday afternoon and it's raining and their teacher brings this out. It's going to be chaos and mayhem, but they're going to have a lovely time. So I'm going to reset things a little bit now, and hopefully I can make this work properly. Okay. Like I said, not enough chickens for the demo gods. Oh well, I've lost the REPL. Anyway, what we've done is we've built in a speech synthesizer. I found some a Commodore 64-based speech synthesizer, and it was written in C, and so we've made it work. And maybe the REPL's there. Yes, it is. So I can do something like this. I can, let's zoom in so you can see what I'm doing. I import speech, everyone see that? Speech, whoops, why is it you can never spell or type when you're doing a demo? Speech.say, again, very, very obvious. Hello, E-M-F. I have no idea if this will work.
Hello, E-M-F.
Can you imagine the fun the kids are gonna have with this, with MicroPython? So. Let me flash this onto the device. And essentially, it's a recreation of the Sound of Music. We're going to get it singing, I hope, if it works.
Wait, that's it.
Singing microbits, it's sort of like the Daleks' greatest hits, really. So, the other thing that I mentioned is that it had an antenna, so you can have inter-device communication going on. I just happen, in Blue Peter fashion, to have one I prepared earlier.
It's here.
Second microbit, with a battery pack. And it's been programmed with the script that you see in front of you now. It's very simple. I import the radio module. I switch the radio on. I clear the display. I put it into an infinite loop. And if it receives a message, and the message is hello, it displays a happy face. Okay? That code that I've just described to you almost reads, I guess, like English. Okay? This device, however, I'm going to flash with radio hello. Again, I import the radio module. I switch the radio on, while true, if button A was pressed, send the hello signal, okay? And if everything lines up, this little fella should show a happy face. It's still flashing for me onto the device. Okay, let's see. 3, 2, 1. Hey, it works. Okay, so. You can send arbitrary messages over the radio. The important thing is that kids, again, we've tried to create a very simple API. Kids are going to be inspired by this. So, back to my talk. That was the live demo. Phew, I made it, okay? So I only just got my EMF badge about 2 hours ago, and so all you saw was what I managed to figure out in about 15 minutes. I hope you explore what the device can do, because it's a lot more powerful than the microbit. If you're interested in the hardware that went into the badge, there's a link there. For the software, there's a GitHub repo as well, again, on the slides there. MicroPython documentation is docs.micropython.org, and forum.micropython.org is where you should be asking questions as well. Please, experiment and play, okay? What about the future for MicroPython? Well, Damien tells me he wants to improve the existing offering. So there's an awful lot of work going on for tutorials and a new website and things like that, so that MicroPython actually starts to look more professional and so on. Not that it's not professional at the moment. You can actually use MicroPython on a real operating system. So MicroPython runs on the bare metal at the moment, but there's no reason why you can't use it in other situations where you have a constrained computing environment, like perhaps in a game or something like that. I don't know. You could program a block in Minecraft with MicroPython, maybe. It's fully buzzword compliant in that a lot of Internet of Things people have been using MicroPython recently. And Damien recently got an email explained that somebody who would have spent weeks doing such and such a thing managed to do this thing in just an afternoon, thanks to MicroPython. So hopefully this is a bit of a game changer in terms of rapid application development for Internet of Things appliances. So like I said, you should be able to embed MicroPython within other software as well, like games and places where you need scripting. And like I mentioned at the beginning, Damien has been working with the European Space Agency on a satellite control layer that's written in MicroPython. So literally, you should be able to program satellites in Python. How cool is that? Perhaps one of the most important aspects of MicroPython is the legacy that it'll have. So this was me having a discussion with some friends of mine on Facebook last year, and they wanted to know why on earth is all this effort being put into programming education, and why is MicroPython involved in this? And I answered like this, and I'll read it out, doing a bit of a PowerPoint karaoke for you. Asking what sort of education and learning our community supports is how we decide what sort of community we become. For it is through education and learning that we engage with our future colleagues, friends, and supporters. If we want there to be an EMF camp in 10 years' time, we need to help the young programmers of today learn to code and get into the making movement and all those other good things. We have about 5 minutes left of this slot. At this point, I'm going to take questions. I'd like you to put your hand up, and the gentleman over there with a microphone will run over and ask a question, and you can ask your question into the mic. We have about 5 minutes, and there's somebody at the back there, always at the back. Why are they always at the back?
Hi. Thank you for the talk. Very interesting. The radio send, is that a serializable Python object, or is it limited in what it can send and distribute?
Okay, so you can send arbitrary bytes. So you could do repra, for example, to serialize the object. You could do what you want. The point is that it's just bytes that's being sent over the air. Fantastic. I'm seeing thumbs up. Any more questions? If you want to go to see the next talk, don't feel free. Don't feel that you have to wait here for me to finish. I think we'll call it a day. Thank you very much. Thank you.